that the bad tokens that are against us outweigh the good. And who is righteous? Let's go to Alma, the page 115, or 515, I'm sorry. I'm a little nervous, you'll have to forgive me. chapter 26. I'm going to start in the 66th verse. And then I'm going to give you a little heads up on this. This is those 2,000 young men that with Helaman when he went and he battled the Lamanites. And they had exceeding great faith. Let me read the scripture. But behold, to my great joy, there had not one soul of them fallen to the earth. Yea, and they had fought as if with the strength of God. Yea, never were men known to have fought with such miraculous strength. And with such mighty power did they fall upon the Lamanites that they did frighten them. And for this cause did the Lamanites deliver themselves up as prisoners of war. Miraculous strength from God. It wasn't their own strength that got them through that. For us, it's the same. You know, as we stand here, and I've heard two preachers before me, they didn't stand up here in their own strength. They had to rely on their Lord and Savior. And for you young people, this should be a call for you. These words should really speak to you. To call you to a higher standard for yourself. The next page before that, in the 57th, and this is something that they did. They rehearsed unto me the words of their mothers, saying, "We do not doubt our mothers knew." They didn't doubt in their hearts. It was important for them to understand that their parents had taught them the ways of righteousness. And so, without that doubt, because where does doubt come from? It doesn't come from God. They knew without a doubt who their Redeemer was. Let's see, 517, the 95th verse. And as the remainder of our armies were about to give way before the Lamanites, behold, those 2,060 were firm and undaunted. Yea, and they did obey and observe to perform every word of command with exactness. With exactness. Yea, and even according to their faith, it was done unto them. And I did remember the words which they said unto me that their mothers had taught them. You think about that. How exact are we in our worship of our God? Sometimes not very exact. Who of us is so firm in our minds and that obedient in our hearts to the word? For we're all called to that standard. The only ones that aren't are the little children. It doesn't matter whether you're a preacher or whether you're just a member. You have the same responsibilities to your Lord and Savior. Maybe a few different ones, a few extra ones for me and for some of these other people. Second Nephi, page 153. Twelfth chapter. Tenth verse. And there shall also be many which shall say, eat, drink, and be merry. Nevertheless, fear God. He will justify in committing a little sin, yea, lie a little. Take the advantage of one because of his words. Dig a pit for thy neighbor. There is no harm in this. And do all these things, for tomorrow we die. And if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes, and at last we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. Yea, and there shall be many which shall teach after this manner false and vain and foolish doctrines, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsels from the Lord. And the work shall be in the darkness, and the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. Mankind likes to justify himself. That doesn't sound like that exactness that those 2,000 young men had. The righteous scarcely be saved. Is that us? Boy, we hope so. You know, there's a scripture, and I use it now and again because I think of this, about this, and it's in Romans. And it's the third chapter. You know, and it's the seventh verse. For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not, rather, as we be slanderously reported, and some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come. Whose damnation is just? What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we are before proved, both Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. The end does not justify the means in what we do. You know, we can pick all kinds of causes to fight for and lose sight of our Lord and Savior. We truly can. You know, Peter walked on water. When he walked on water, what happened to him? When he looked down and around at the waves and the wind, he took his eyes off of Christ and he sank. We're the same way. You know, our focus, and you've heard two other sermons today, our focus should be on our Lord and Savior. What He wants for us. Where He wants us to go. I've already read that, didn't I? Did I read that? Yes. You know where the kingdom of God is, because in the 11th verse, and do all these things that tomorrow we die, and if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes, and at last we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? You know that kingdom wasn't in the Old Testament. That kingdom, in the Old Testament, God's sovereignty power was that He owned everything. Okay, but it was one of Christ's central teachings. I believe it's over 100 times in the New Testament. It was like the King inviting us to be part of His kingdom. That's what it was in the New Testament. It was His subjects participating and receiving part of His blessings. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not a spectator sport. That doesn't mean that we sit in our pews and watch the world go by. A comfort zone is where you're quite content to just go along with what you're doing. But there's no growth. There is no growth. You're quite content with the way life is. When those little hiccups in the road come along, then things get a little messy for you. Then we have to change our ways, usually. We have to reevaluate. Let's go to I didn't write down the page, did I? 14th verse of that. Because of pride and because of false teachers and false doctrines, their churches have become corrupted. And their churches are lifted up because of pride, they are puffed up. They rob the poor because of their fine sanctuaries. They rob the poor because of their fine clothing. And they persecute the meek and the poor in heart. Because in their pride they are puffed up. They wear stiff necks and high heads. Yea, and because of pride and wickedness and abominations and whoredoms, they have all gone astray, save it be a few who are the humble followers of Christ. The humble followers of Christ. Do you know the word churches doesn't exist in the Old Testament, in the Bible? It doesn't. Because if Christ hadn't came at that point, how could he build his church? First place is in Matthew where he said, I will build my church. It wasn't a place. It wasn't a building. It wasn't even a people. It wasn't the Sanhedrins. He said he was going to build his church. Where is that? Is it in you? The word church means in Greek, it means called out. That's what it means. That we're called out. We're called out of the world to that higher standard. We're all called to repentance. And which is, by the way, is, it says in the dictionary, a change of heart towards God. Anyone can have a change of heart, but it's having a change of heart towards God. That like those 2,000 young men, they look to God for their answers, not man. You ever thought what kind of people the apostles were, or the prophets of old? You know, I was sitting up here for a little bit, I turned to, I believe it's Kings. I think it was 2 Kings, and I remembered Elijah. It's a second book of Kings in the second chapter. And I often think about this. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha. And he followed him and he followed him. And finally Elijah was just tired of him following, I think. He said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Is that not what we all want? A double portion. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass that they still went on and talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. Who of us wouldn't want that, like those 2,000 young men? That the glory of God might be manifest in each and every one of us. You know, and we say that there is very few miracles today. I've heard people say it quite a bit. In fact, I've probably said it a few times myself. And that, you know what? It's my own fault. It's no one else's. It all depends on how close or how far I want to be away from my Lord. You know, we have to be honest about this. Our lives are so full that we can't really serve our God. Not with a pure heart. You know, and that bothers me. Anyway, got where I was because I went. Well, let me go back a little bit. You know the apostles, Paul, and I can kind of relate with Paul a little bit. I really can. On the way to Damascus, he was blinded, and that was the beginning of his change. You know, do we all have that on the way to Damascus kind of story? Some of us more so than others. Some of us, you know, some people were raised in the church. But for me, I had one of those experiences on the way to Damascus. And can you imagine that the light of your world is all of a sudden taken away from you? Galatians, the first chapter. And this was Paul, the 12th verse. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He was telling us that spirit that changed him didn't come from man. He wasn't taught at any seminary. But it was the beginning on the way to Damascus. He had to be brought down to his nothingness. For myself, it was no different. Sometimes God does that to us, those little hiccups in the road. You know, those 2,000 young men didn't have that. Because they were taught from the beginning. As parents, we should be doing that to our children. That we teach them not to doubt. That we teach them to be close to their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 12th chapter. And this was Paul after he had many blessings. 7th chapter. Unless, 12th chapter, 7th verse. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. He had the abundance of revelations given to him. Great blessings from God. He was given me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know, we all have weaknesses. Every one of us has weaknesses. Some it might be pride. I mean, there's many things in our lives. And you know what? And I do too. And I pray and I tell my Lord, you promised me that you would make my weaknesses into my strengths. You promised me. And he does. You have to depend on your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He wants you to depend on him. He wants you to mold. He wants to mold you into what he can use. I was hoping I'd be out of time. Oh, that's all right. Acts. Nineteenth chapter. And Paul had, he had great power given to him. And in the 19th chapter, the 11th and 12th verse, and God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases parted from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Who of us wouldn't want that for their children and for their brothers and sisters? As a minister, we desire that. When we lay our hands upon someone, we desire that they be recovered, made full. You know, that's one of the things that brought me to the gospel of Jesus Christ, was the marvelous testimonies that I heard. Yeah, I was 32 years old when I heard that story. And it changed my life. That I decided I needed to know more. I had marvelous things happen to me at that point in my life. Because I wanted to know my God. I desired to know what their mysteries were. And you know, in many instances, I don't believe that I'm very smart, but the Lord shows me certain things, and I'm quite thankful for that. Because I want to know what He wants. I want to know what He says, not what someone else says. You know, and I told an apostle who's a friend of mine, I told him, I said, in some ways I'm at an advantage. He grew up in the church. The reason is because I have to look it up for myself. Because I want to know for myself. You know, sometimes, you know, when we have parents and grandparents, they say, well, you know, my grandparents wouldn't lie to me. This is how it is. The traditions of our fathers. And so we fight to the death for that. But I don't have that. I want to know what God wants, what He wants to tell me. God poured out His spiritual blessings upon him and the people that came in contact with him. He worked with all his might for the Lord. In 1 Corinthians, fifteenth chapter. The 9th and 10th verse. For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. He gave the glory to God. He gave the glory to God. And he knew what he had done, whether it was through ignorance or whatever. Because many times the things that we do in our past are what make us what we are today. You know, I can look in my past and I go, boy, Lord, why me? Why did you choose me? You know, and he changed me so much. And yet I look in my life and I see that he's not done. He better not be. Because I got a long ways to go. You know, some of the greatest writings came from Paul. He understood what he'd done. And that made him more fervent. I do too. And so, you know, when I got the opportunity to say yes to come down here and preach, I thought, well, I don't like to say no. That's not putting me anywhere near Paul's standard either, so I just want to make that clear. You know, Paul, he was a Hebrew, a Pharisee, a Roman. He had many talents too. I believe he was well educated. But he set his sight on God's purpose, not his own. I hope the sermon isn't making you hot, because I see everybody fanning themselves. Let's see, let's go to Acts, the 20th chapter. And you know, he understood what was before him in many ways too. God gives us a little bit of foreknowledge. In this, the 20th chapter, I'm going to start in the 22nd verse. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace of God. What a powerful scripture. He didn't care about his life. Not that physical life. But we fight so hard to retain every breath in our bodies. With joy. What is true joy? Does it not come from God? People say you're only as happy as you want to be. It comes from within you. Does God's Spirit not dwell within you? Is that not where it comes from? Well, it comes from God, I mean, but if it dwells within us, that's true happiness. To testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, who of us wouldn't want to do that? You know, do we testify to our neighbors? To people on the street? To those in stores? I wouldn't make it as a Walmart greeter, I can tell you right now. They'd fire me the first day. Because I enjoy the gospel. To me, it is such a joy. That gospel, what changed me, you know, it can change anyone. That power of Christ, it breaks down all those barriers. Second Corinthians, and then I'm going to finish. The 11th chapter, 16th verse. I'm going to start there. And this is some of the things that Paul had to suffer for the Lord's sake. Because if you remember, when Ananias went to administer to him, he said, he is a chosen vessel. He must suffer many things for my name's sake. And this is some of the things he suffered. I'm going to start in the 16th verse, and it goes down a little ways. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For you suffer fools gladly, seeing yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage. If a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit therein so ever any is bold. I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundantly in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeying often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by heathens, in perils in the city, in perils, in the wilderness, in perils, in the sea, in perils, among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of all the church. Cares of all the church was what he worried about. All those other things he took for the Lord. The Lord still held him up. But you know, when you know that you're nothing, where can you go? And if it's God's purpose, no man can stop it. Even those 2,000 young men, because there were thousands of the Nephites killed. But not one of them killed. Not once, but twice. God's protection. Is that not what we want? And to honor and to glory Him in all that we do and say. And I thank You very much.